It is 10:15 a.m. on February the 3rd, 2012. I'm Anthony Camacho. I'm serving as the hearing officer on behalf of the OPA. This is OPA-PA-11-019 in the matter of Infratech International LLC. We are here for a pre-hearing conference and a hearing on motions filed in this matter. Will the members of the Office of Public Accountability present for this hearing this morning please identify themselves for the record?
Doris Flores Brooks, Public Auditor.
Ann Camacho, Appeals Administrator.
Llewellyn Terlahi, Quality Assurance Reviewer.
Thank you. Will the appellant please identify himself for the record and anyone else sitting at the table with him this morning?
Ravindra Goginini, Infratech International Vice President.
Pragati Goginini, Infratech International President.
How do you pronounce your last name again?
Goginini.
Goginini. Thank you, Mr. Goginini. Will counsel for the purchasing agency please identify herself for the record and any institutional representatives with her this morning?
The purchasing agency is the Guam Department of Education, or GDOE. I'm Rebecca Perez, legal counsel for GDOE. Present with me is its supply and management administrator, Mark Espino.
Thank you, Ms. Perez. We're going to start with the motions first, and my understanding is DOE filed two motions. One looks like it's somewhat moot, and that was the motion to extend the deadline to file the agency report.
Right. We didn't consider that a motion as much as a request, and we didn't consider that moot. Additionally, if I could just interrupt, I did not file a formal motion for consolidation of cases. I'm wondering, however, if at this time, if there's no objection from Mr. Goginini, if the OPA would consider consolidating the three matters in which we are the same parties, in which similar motions, answers, and agency statements, as well as rebuttals have been filed, and that's just for efficiency of process. Additionally, I would note for the record that this does involve funding that was formerly ERA funding, which became local funding pursuant to Public Law 3041, I believe. I could clarify to see if that's the correct number, that there is a time limitation for the expenditure of these funds under that public law, and that we are requesting expedited procedures as much as possible. But my initial request at this time, I did not file a formal motion for consolidation. However, if there's no objection, I'm wondering if we could handle this matter, OPA PA 11-020 and 021, which are substantially the same as a single matter.
Well, I understand that each appeal concerns a different procurement action. Is that correct?
That is correct, but those procurement actions occurred under, I would say, identical, if not word for word, in similarity, RFPs, or IFPs rather. So each of the motions and appeal, what we consider to be protest grounds and what has been filed as a notice of appeal by Mr. Goginini state, I believe, exactly the same things. That's why I say if he has no objection.
Yeah. Well,
just as a point of clarification, because I remember sitting at the hearing at the legislature on this, as I understand it, the work, the only reason it's divided up into the three IFBs, is because you're just dividing the schools.
That's correct.
Yeah, so to make the project a little bit more manageable, right? And so what is the difference between the three, you know, like which, are they approximately about the same amount of schools?
Approximately. We geographically segregated the schools and put them in five different packages all together.
Mm-hmm.
But the matter here is three packages.
The three packages. And this one, if I remember now, pertains to the roof coating and structural
repairs.
Yeah, repairs, right?
Correct.
And the only reason why you did it is because it's three, is just because of the magnitude and to divide it up.
That's correct.
That's why there's three bids, but it's all pertaining to the same concept to be done at all
all of the different schools?
With identically worded IFBs and for which identically worded notices of appeal were filed.
Okay. Now, Mr. Goganini, your protest and subsequent appeal for each of these three cases, the issue here is they're trying to consolidate all three, but we're trying to ascertain if apparently I believe DOE is alleging that all three procurements concern identically worded or similarly worded IFB. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then your protest and then also your appeal, is it on the same issue or yes. issues for each of the IFBs?
Yes. Okay. They're all the same.
Okay.
For different, because there are three different packages. We submitted three different appeals, but like it's the same thing. Basically okay. the same for all three.
All right. So, and we would be consolidating pursuant to your motion, oral motion, Ms. Perez, OPA 11-19, 20, and 21. Would that be correct?
Yes.
I'm going to take your motion under consideration, and only because I also have to verify by going through the file to make sure that the wording is similar. Likewise, that the issues, and I understand Mr. Goganini is not represented by counsel,
yes.
So I will have to go through and verify what they say, and likewise verify that the issues in your protest and your subsequent appeals are the same for each three cases. If they are so, very likely I would issue an order consolidating all three.
Sure.
Okay.
Would you need us to restate that motion in each hearing we have this morning?
We might just, in the interest of time, I think we're
also because we did. Also, for each one.
I understand that, but we also have an obligation to the public.
Sure.
I know that you know we're here, but I don't know if somebody might come in due to the notices that we submitted. So we are going to have to call, at least for this morning, each case individually, even if it's just to put on the record that we had the hearing, that we've are likely to consolidate the cases, and the same timelines that we give out today would apply to them. We would still have to do that. I'm sorry.
But, no, just clarifying.
Okay. So let's see here. So then the motion would be.
That's one motion, Jeff. We have another motion.
Yeah, well, that was the one request to extend deadlines, which is moot. And it was more of a request versus a motion. The next motion, or I believe the only motion filed, is DOE's motion to dismiss for failure to state grounds for appeal.
That's correct. We have another matter that is in the agency report. I'm not sure if you'll require that we'll go to hearing for that. We did not file it as a formal motion, and that is the issue of whether or not Mr. Goganini is an actual or prospective bidder. So, but we did not file that as a formal motion. It is brought up in our agency statement, and I believe he responded to it as well in his comments.
Okay, but that's more or less, that's an issue of... yeah, that would be an issue of, I guess, jurisdiction to be looked at if your motion to dismiss is denied and we go to the hearing on the merits. Is that correct?
If that's how you'd like to do it, that's fine. I think that jurisdiction, and admittedly, we're not under the more technical rules that would be present in the Superior Court or in the court proceeding. It was raised and it was answered. I believe it is essential to the matter, but if it's going to be considered as a substantive matter, we don't have any objection to that.
Okay.
Again, it's just efficiency. It's for efficiency's sake, but we acknowledge we did not raise it as a formal motion to dismiss on those grounds.
Okay. Now, did you make this same motion in each of the three cases?
I think the only thing we changed was the case number.
All right. I probably believe that.
And perhaps the title of the IFB.
Okay. Now, Mr. Goganini, we, in the notice I put out for this hearing, there was basically a motion filing schedule. A motion is essentially, before the hearing, it's if you want to raise an issue or seek to dismiss or attempt to dismiss the case on technical grounds, so to speak, before a hearing. That's kind of what a motion is. And DOE filed a motion on December the 9th of 2011. Other than the pleadings that you filed, you know, specifically your notice of appeal, your comments on the agency report, did you file any motions at all?
No, we didn't file.
Okay. You also had the opportunity to file an opposition, which is your response to DOE's motion. Did you file an opposition at all to any of the, or
we
DOE's motion?
We submitted comments on, I believe, on the motion also.
Okay.
Whatever we got from them, we submitted, not on the motion actually, we submitted comments on their grounds stating why we think we are a prospective bidder.
Okay. Well, what we're going to take up now is just their December the 9th, 2011 motion. Okay. We're going to discuss, we're going to discuss the pre-hearing conference after that. Okay. So, just on the motion, the procedure is Mr. Goganini, Ms. Paris, I have no doubt, is very familiar with it. Because it's her motion, she will be granted the opportunity to argue verbally her motion. Okay. When she's done, you will have the opportunity to respond to her arguments. And because it's her motion, she has the opportunity to reply briefly to your response. That's the procedure.
Okay.
And likewise, had you filed a motion, the same would apply to you. Okay. But because you're merely opposing the motion, you reply once. Okay. So having said that, Ms. Perez, you have the floor concerning your motion to dismiss.
Before I get into this, just as a point of clarification, Mr. Pito, where is this bid right now? Because I noted in the review that the deadline for submission was back in October, and you stated in your motion, Ms. Perez, that Mr. Goganini his company did not submit a bid. So where are you right now in the process? Have you awarded or have you stayed? You've stayed, okay. So nothing has, hence the urgency to resolve this matter quickly. Thank you.
That's the same for all three cases? Yeah. Okay, they're all stayed and they're all pre-awarded, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarification, and Ms. Paris.
Thank you, Mr. Camacho. As it stated in my written motion to dismiss, InfraTech, Mr. Goganini's company, filed its letter with GDOE regarding the subject IFB on October 4th, 2011. We eventually did allow, though the letter was confusing in its substance and not actually even clearly labeled until the end, you know, that they were protesting the matter. We construed it as a protest and responded by letter of November 30th, 2011. And then we received the notice of appeal on December 14th by Mr. Goganini. And what the notice did was identify the subject of the appeal as the IFB, and it did mark a statement on the appeal form that this is made from a decision on a protest of method solicitation or award. It contained several documents, each of which is listed in my motion, the notice of appeal form, certain emails, the cover page of our letter of November 30th.
I see that.
Okay, yep. Listed in there. What it didn't contain and what is required by the regulations at 2GAR 12104B2 is that there should be a concise, logically arranged, and direct statement of the grounds for appeal. Unfortunately, what appears to have occurred in this case is that Mr. Goganini took a protest and then said, here it is. I mean, just provided these documents. And what we need to be able to do in order to respond to an appeal is to know what exactly from our protest response is being appealed. That is just lacking in this case. We have responded to his protest grounds. We put it in a lengthy letter of November 30th. We addressed those issues. And this appeal process is meant so that he can say, I point to these specific things in the agency's response, and I think they did it, that protest response is wrong. That starts the process so that then the agency can say, we disagree on these specific points. We are unable to answer an allegation if we can't figure out what the allegations are. Quite frankly, it's like trying to catch water with a net. So where we are, and the reason why we believe this appeal should be dismissed, is it's just unclear what he's appealing from our response to his protest. We followed the procedure up to that point, and we are lost as to what it is about our response that he disagrees with.
Thank you, Ms. Paris. Mr. Goganini?
Going with the protest when I submitted on December 14th, I gave a brief summary why I'm appealing the protest. And if you look at that letter, the summary, the later part of the summary has the reasons why I'm appealing it. It has given bullet points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. It was clearly stated there why I'm doing it. And also, the letter was submitted on October 4th prior to the bid opening of these respective bids. And as per the public law, that as per 5425G, when there is a protest in place prior to the bid, the bid process shall be stalled or stayed until the issue is resolved. So they went ahead and proceeded with the bid openings. They opened the bids. Not only they opened the first bid, they opened the other the consecutive two bids also after receiving the letter. So that's another reason, another point we are making here, that the procurement process is violated.
Well, the issue that Ms. Paris is raising is, remember I said that one of the purposes behind motions is to try to dismiss the case for a failure to follow some procedure, what we would call a technicality. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, American law. And what she's specifically raising is one of the things that you're required to file in your notice of appeal is a statement of the reasons that you are appealing, a brief, concise statement. And now you stated that in your
letter,
but I note that you have two letters from you that you filed with your appeal. Is that correct? You have one dated September the 28th, 2011, and that was to DOE. And you have one dated October the 4th of 2011.
Yeah, those are the letters we submit to them. But also, there is a summary given in the same appeal. Two-page summary given.
Okay.
It has the points there, the grounds for our appeal.
That is what I'm trying to find then. Okay. You say, oh, I see here. So. Would it be, is that your paper that just begins with a paragraph stating GDOE
has issued
an invitation for bids?
Okay. Yeah, that and the next page. If you get towards the end of the first page, you have two books we put there, and then we give why we are appealing it, the grounds.
Okay, and I note that page has no title, is that correct?
No title.
Okay. Ms. Paris, do you see that page that he's referring to in his notes?
I do. However, I'm trying to clarify. I believe this is part of the previous letters that he submitted.
No, it's not.
Well, you'll have the opportunity to reply. I'm just merely trying to understand his argument.
I'm going to go with this page in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well,
in his appeal?
Yeah, in the notice of appeal, I believe what he's pointed out to me at least is the untitled two-page document that follows his DOE's November 30th, 2011 letter addressed to him.
Just the cover page of that letter.
Yeah.
He didn't include the entire letter.
Yeah, but, okay, so if we go to there, he's, I believe, referring to those two pages, and that's what he is arguing, or his statement of the grounds for appeal. Is that correct, Mr. Gogonen?
Yes, sir.
I'm just trying to understand your argument.
Yes, okay. Yes, Mr.
Now that you've clarified that, is there anything else that you want to state?
We did give the statement and the reasons why we are appealing it, and we gave the timely fashion also the appeal, so thereby we are requesting to dismiss their motion to cancel.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gogonen. Ms. Paris, in reply? Or rebuttal, rather?
This document does not cure what we have identified as the underlying failure of the appeal to identify in a concise, logically arranged, and direct statement the grounds for appeal. Nothing in this letter points to, as far as I can tell, and forgive me, and I'll assume Mr. Gogonen will correct me if I'm wrong, points to our response of November 30th and what exactly in that response he is appealing. This is these two pages appear to be a description of what he believed was erroneous prior to submitting his protest letter, and incorporated in his protest letter to which DOE responded on November 30th. This appeal was supposed to point out to the purchasing agency what he believes is defective about our response to his protest. I'm unable to identify that in this document. I believe the OPA will be unable to identify it, and I don't know that Mr. Gogonen can identify it based on this, these two pages.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Paris. Okay. I'm going to take the motion to dismiss and the arguments of both parties under advisement, which means I'm going to review them and try to look at the various regulations and statutes cited by the parties, also look at the parties' pleadings, and then issue a decision in writing, hopefully by early next week. Okay? So that will be decided at a later time in writing. The next issue is the pre-hearing conference itself, and going to the notice of pre-hearing conference. I'm just going to go by the numbers now. Well, before I go on, let's go back to that motion. Mr. Gogonen, the notice of appeal that you filed in OPA-PA-11-019, was that substantially the same as the exhibits that you had in appeals number 20 and 21 as well?
Yes, Mr. Pamacho.
And is that the same statement that you had
yes.
in 20 and 21 as well?
Yes.
And Ms. Perez, you said the only thing you changed, quote, was the numbers on your, or the caption, or basically the number identifier for the appeal. Is that correct?
My signature is not always exactly the same, but for the
most part. No, but I was just stating that that's
yes,
what
that
you, that's
what
you, okay, so, all right, so just so we don't have to go through this same argument for each of the remaining two hearings, okay. All right, going to the notice or going to the pre-hearing conference now. I know that, Ms. Paris, you have a hearing in the afternoon of the 10th, pre-hearing conference that we scheduled in OPA-PA-11-18. Will you be available would the parties be available for a hearing, a formal hearing, on the 21st of February? Or excuse me, the 17th?
Yes, I'm wondering if Mr. Gogonen was willing to consider this also to be to have covered all of the issues that would be addressed at a pre-hearing conference. Could we consider a full hearing on the issues 10 days from now? Is that, I don't know if that it's something that is prohibited by the rules.
Well, I say that because to, and keep in mind, we have a responsibility to the public to give adequate notice of the hearing should they choose to either observe or attempt to participate. So it's 10 days of notice. So that's the earliest that we could have a hearing in this matter. I note that 10 days from now is the 20th, which is a, I believe it's just 10 days for publication, but of course I'm just trying to send a tentative date. Would the parties be available for a hearing on that day?
It's still the 17th that you're considering?
Let me see here. No, it's the 20th.
Are you talking 10 working days?
No, I think it's just 10 days.
I do believe also it's 10 days. I'm just wondering, is this, I'm not sure if this has been brought up before the OPA before, whether or not parties on the record, so that there would be sufficient notice to anybody who was interested, they could have been here. If we could waive the pre-hearing conference and just directly set a date for the hearing.
No, this is the pre-hearing conference.
Okay, see?
No, this is the date for the hearing.
All five of them are running around in my head, forgive me.
Okay, the last one was, okay,
great.
No. This is the pre-hearing conference, so.
Okay, 10 days.
10 days would be the 20th, if notice issues today. And keep in mind, that's part of our public responsibility to give notice.
We will take the earliest date possible.
Mr. Goganini?
20th is fine.
Okay. All right. Well, actually, I know we have a holiday. It's not the 20th, is it? That's President's Day?
It's not a GovQuam holiday.
Neither is the Super Bowl, as far as I know.
It's a traditional holiday.
But we have a hearing.
Is that President's Day?
I think so. The 20th is President's Day.
Yeah, that's not a holiday. That's
for
what
us.
He thinks is a holiday.
So we can still leave on the 20th, unless we have something.
Yeah, I do actually.
We're trying to meet in the morning, right?
Well, I have to. I think I'm available after 2:00 on the 21st.
I can reschedule this for one, this is not a problem.
Okay.
So the 21st at 1:00.
Okay, how about the 21st at 1 p.m., 1 in the afternoon?
Okay.
All right.
I have a question, because I'm sure that we'll get the response from you as to whether or not the motion to dismiss has been successful. Additionally, though not raised as a motion, it is in our agency answer, the secondary issue that Mr. Goganini does not qualify as an actual prospective bidder. Will you be addressing that argument as a matter of substance? And then, assuming we get that far, I need clarification of what exactly we'll be arguing at the hearing. I'm still unclear as to what the issues are to be addressed at the hearing. I need just clarification of what we're going to argue about at the hearing, because as I've stated, I'm not aware that there is an official statement in the appeal of what we're addressing.
Okay, well, like I said, your motion's under advisement. I'll take a look at that. In terms of did DOE request a hearing in this matter?
We did not formally.
Okay. And I believe, Mr. Goganini, you do have the option. Okay, a hearing is when you basically come and you present any additional evidence aside from your pleadings, such as testimony. You will have the authority to or the ability to subpoena various witnesses. There is a procedure for that, or to request those subpoenas and actually have them come in and you'd have the opportunity to question them. Likewise, they would also have the opportunity to cross-examine any witnesses, and likewise, they would have the opportunity to call witnesses and subpoena them themselves. Is it still your desire at this time to proceed with a formal hearing concerning your appeal? You do have the option of having the OPA decide the case based on the records that have been submitted and the pleadings of the party. It's entirely up to you.
Yeah, I mean, us not having a legal counsel, which we can't afford to hire one at this point, being a small business, I thought it's better for us to have a hearing so I can call in a few people.
Okay. As a witness. Okay. So you still desire a hearing then for all three cases?
Yes.
That's fine. That's completely in your right. Okay. So it'll be the 21st at 1. Okay. Very likely I'll consolidate as soon as I do some verification order if I consolidate them or deny consolidation. But likely I will probably issue an order consolidating the cases. So we're going to take up all three cases, okay, on the 21st at 1 o'clock. There will be, I'm just going down the list of the notice of pre-hearing conference. Have the parties attempted to formulate, and this is the issue you raised, and simplify the issues.
No. Other than listing it as the grounds for dismissal, I mean, I'm not sure how much more clearly we could state, but at this point, water with a net. GDOE is unable to identify the issues. I would suggest if the hearing officer would allow it, that...
Well, one of the things in the filing schedule will be the parties to... based on the pleadings that have been submitted already, is to list what the parties believe the remaining issues in this case are that the pleadings have not decided, okay? Likewise, have the parties discussed the possibility of obtaining admissions of facts and of documents that will avoid unnecessary proof or stipulations regarding the authenticity of documents?
No, again, those are all things that we would be happy to do if we could identify the issues that were relevant to the appeal.
Like I said, I know that one of the things that will assist you is in the scheduling order, the actual listing of what the parties believe the issues are at this time. Okay. Do the parties require any advance rulings from the hearing officer concerning the admissibility of any evidence at this time?
Not that I'm
aware of. Spoken anything? Okay. Once again, I encourage the parties to seek to work together in terms of what will be presented at the hearing to avoid unnecessary proof or cumulative evidence. If you prove something once, you need not prove it 10 or 20 times thereafter. Likewise with a stipulation, if neither party disagrees that something's admissible or relevant, so to speak, and they're just willing to stipulate on it, that's another quick way of narrowing the issues that we need focus on at the hearing. How many witnesses, Mr. Goganetti, do you believe you will be calling?
I'm looking maybe no more than 3-4 at this point.
3 or 4. Are any of those witnesses from DOE?
Maybe one.
Okay. Have you discussed who that witness is?
No, not yet. I'm going to get some information.
Who are you planning on calling? Keep in mind that it's not binding. If you say the name, you could say add more, but there is a deadline.
One of the persons involved in the bid openings.
Which one?
One of the persons involved in the bid opening.
Okay.
I wanted to, because there were some statements, I mean, at least one statement issued at the time of the bid opening, so I wanted to call the same person.
Do you know what that person's name is?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I need to find out.
In any event, you can work the part. I encourage the parties to work with each other to ensure the availability of witnesses without a subpoena, okay? But nevertheless, if you feel somebody needs to be subpoenaed, there'll be a deadline, and there is a process that you would have to follow to get those subpoenas from the OPA, okay? And one of the things that I will put in my scheduling order for the hearing is a deadline to file witness lists and exhibit lists. Once again, everything pretty much that that the parties have filed with their respective pleadings, to include the procurement record, is already admitted and will be considered. Where it states, yes. Did DOE file a complete procurement record in this matter?
We believe, as required by the statute that we have and by the regulations we have. Additionally, listening to Mr. Guganini saying, because I think this is part of what this matter may be about, I believe the appeal is limited to what was raised in the protest itself. And Mr. Guganini has mentioned he would want a witness from DOE who took part in the bid opening. However, in his letter of protest of October 4th, and I'm reading down his list, it says, failed to provide information in an email of August 5th, not prepared for site visits, added a last minute requirement and amendment.
Ms. Paris, we're not getting into exclusion of evidence at this point, and you will have, I'm not going to speculate on why he might be calling that witness. You can object to any witnesses that he calls based on relevancy. Likewise, based on the scope of the appeal, you certainly will have that full opportunity when he calls his witnesses or when he begins his questioning.
Sure, I brought it up as it relates to the records that may be required for the OPA, because none of the items listed in his protest refers to anything after bid opening.
Okay, well,
therefore, if there were additional documents that might be relevant, and understand too that part of the reason why we believe we've minimally complied, if there are additional documents that may be relevant to this, we believe it would be limited to those things prior to the opening based on the subject of his protest. And quite frankly, every dime that we spend on a piece of paper at DOE, I mean, it's very close to money we don't have.
I understand that, but there's also DOE by law and by regulation has a duty, a public duty, essentially, to provide these documents that are public for inspection and copying by, not just by Mr. Guganini, but by any member of the public.
Yes,
okay.
By the public.
That's correct. So, Mr. Guganini, do you have, do you feel there, at this point, that you have, and are there any other documents you feel that DOE should have provided you that you don't have? That you need for this year?
As I stated in my comments, they did not include the schedule of values for the bid openings. All the participants submitted those bid schedule is very important for the arguments I made.
When you say schedule of values, you're talking about the
pricing, of various items they put in the bid.
Okay,
they haven't forwarded that to OPA in their package. They just submitted the summary. Who are all the bidders participating in it?
Okay, I believe they normally, they just submitted a summary?
They just put, like, this company submitted this.
Okay, was that the bid abstract? Is that what you're talking about? So you're talking about the actual bids themselves?
No, in the bid abstract, what they did was they noted down the first page all the documentaries, I mean, the forms and other stuff needed. And then they had a separate page where they noted down the amounts each quoted for each kind of work. That page is missing. They submitted page 1 of 2. They didn't submit page 2 of 2.
So is that still part of the bid abstract, page 2?
Yes.
Okay, you're wanting page 2 of the bid abstract, is that correct?
Yes.
Ms. Perez, would you object to giving Mr. Guganini the complete copy of the abstract?
I'm going to need to verify in our submissions whether or not there is, in fact, a page 2. If it's missing, we'd have no objection. That's, as you stated correctly, a public record. If you'll give me just a moment, however, I'm looking at our exhibits.
Okay. And that's the only document you feel you need? She's verifying whether or not there is a page 2.
It appears that according to my client, there may be a document that should have been filed with exhibits nine of our agency report. We will confirm, and if there is in fact a secondary page to that, we will be happy to file it and serve it on Mr. Gomenini.
Now, as we're consolidating, or likely to consolidate these cases, Ms. Paris, I'm going to order you to essentially serve upon the OPA no later than next week, Wednesday, a complete copy of the procurement record in this case. If it is the same document set, for example, for the other two cases, some statement verifying that fact. Okay. I take it these are the same bidders, Mr. Pito?
I believe so.
Okay. So for each of these cases, I'm going to order that by next week, Wednesday, a complete record, a procurement record. Of course, if there are any portions that are confidential or that DOE has deemed to be trade secret pursuant to request of a bidder, you may submit those sealed.
Okay, and can we clarify the definition of complete record as you're using in this proceeding? And I believe in the proceeding prior was the GDOE procurement regulation definition.
Well, it's also the GDOE procurement regulation also closely tracks the Guam procurement law statute that states a complete record.
Just trying to clarify that definition as it was. Again, the complete record. Is it every document?
I'm going to order that the entire record, every document.
Entire record.
Every document. As hearing officer, I'm going to order that you deliver the entire record, then for each of the three cases, the entire record by Wednesday.
Sure.
Is that clear?
That's the clarification we're seeking. If you're using your authority as the hearing officer, we absolutely will comply. Yes.
Very well. Mm-hmm. And once again, if there are any portions of those records you feel are confidential, you may so mark them, so seal them. Mr. Gogonetti, you will have the opportunity after Wednesday, should you want to review those documents that are submitted to the OPA. That opportunity once they're submitted. Okay. Speaking about exhibits, you need not present every document in the procurement record again. Like I said, the procurement record that will be filed, all the pleadings, those are already submitted. The only purpose of the exhibits really is if you're going to show a document to a witness. Okay. So that we could have a record of what that document is. That's what you need to submit as a mark as an exhibit and submit as a in your list of exhibits. Okay?
Okay.
Is that clear? All right. And we only have one pending motion for each of these cases, as we discussed earlier. It's a motion to dismiss filed by DOE. Do we need to adopt any special procedures for managing potentially difficult or protracted actions, complex issues, multiple parties, or unusual proof problems? Do any of those issues need to be addressed this time?
Only as related to our motion to dismiss, again, in the identification of the issues that would be allowed under the rules.
Mr. Gogonetti, how long do you think it'll take you to present your case?
Maybe a couple of days, or maybe a day I can finish it, if not. Like maybe, I don't know how long your hearing continues, maybe in a day, maybe.
Well, how long do you anticipate, if you called, right now you say you might have three witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
If you called all three witnesses, how long do you think it would take you to question them?
It won't take that long, maybe an hour or two I can finish.
Okay.
Depending upon how much they want to counter on it.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to take that long for me, because whatever I feel, I put, but only thing is, you know, not being an attorney or legal counsel itself, so that's why I want.
Okay, so a couple of hours. Mr. Ferris, how long do you think it'll take you to present your case? Are you calling, is DOE calling any witnesses?
We will call at least two, possibly three.
Okay.
Assuming again that we will, that we'll be arguing broadly what Mr. Gorgonetti has brought up. So I would say that I'd imagine it's best case scenario would be able to pull this off in an afternoon in about 4 hours from 1 to 5, but I'd ask on the outside at least a day and a half. I'm just unaware of.
Okay, so very likely we would need a second day of, yes, of hearing. Okay. Tentatively, we'll also schedule the second day of the hearing, starting at 1 p.m. on the 22nd, should we need that. Are the parties available for that date?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are there any other matters the parties need to discuss at this time that may facilitate the just, speedy, and inexpensive disposition of this action?
Did you give us an exhibit duty, or will that be in the scheduling order?
That'll be in the scheduling order. It, and just to warn the parties, will be somewhat compressed. I will issue that order today, but seeing as how we've really only got 11 days or so, it will be a rather compressed one, okay? And keep in mind, it'll require hearing briefs, but these are just summaries. You need not repeat every argument that you have made before. We're just looking at a summary of your case, a summary of your argument, a summary of your issues, okay? That would help us understand your respective cases a little better. That's all. Okay. Finally, at this time, do either the are either of the parties aware of any persons who you know must attend the hearing or participate in the hearing that might need any special accommodations, auxiliary aids, or services? Okay. Are there any other matters that need to be taken up by the parties at this time?
Not to my knowledge.
I'm just clarification. It's not, I'm saying this, since there is a federal funding involved in this ARA money, are they, is this procurement subject to the federal regulations or also or only Guam regulations?
Mr. Gorgonetti, I can't really I can't really provide you legal advice.
Okay.
But I do understand that, at least from the pleadings of the parties, I see that you are arguing local procurement law, but I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
We'd be happy to offer a clarification, if, especially if it means this issue will not come up at the hearing. The funds that were previously identified for these projects had been ARRA. However, they are local at this point, pursuant to public law 30-41, and I really hope I'm citing the correct number, but I believe that's the correct number.
The 30 law, dash what?
30-41. The mechanism that was contained in that was basically because there had been approval from USDOE to extend the deadline by which to expend and obligate certain ARRA funds, those funds were transferred to local budgets. Therefore, the issuance of this IFB was done and identified that these were local funds.
But just for point of clarification, doesn't it still have to go through the third-party receiver, the checks, and so on?
That is not. Generally, the department's procedures with the third-party receiver that was appointed by virtue of our high-risk status, it's not specific to the procurement, these procurements. It is, that would be a correct statement to generally the expenditure of federal funds. At this point, however, I am under the impression that actually they don't. This is local money now.
Because I know how we did it, because we substituted the payroll that was paid through, okay, and then this became the capital projects. I'm aware of that. But Will the check have the signatures, like for instance, in the awards, like and for other, because this is not the only project that's happening, you know, we're talking millions of dollars. And my question is just more of a point of clarification.
I would have to look into that.
Okay.
And get back
yeah.
to you. The one deadline, and to answer Mr. Gogan and his questions, like I said, which we are quite willing to do on the record, mm-hmm. is that federal, this is not the expenditure at this time of federal funds. They were formerly federally funds at this point, right. However, pursuant to that public law, they are local funds, and so we do not believe that any federal regulations would supersede our local regulations with regard to the procurement matter. There is also a deadline contained in
yes.
that law that these funds must be expended, obligated by September 30th of this year. That is the deadline that DOE is facing. For these projects.
The concern that I have is that money is sitting in a trust fund. The question I'm trying to seek clarification.
Oh, they have to sign the check for those trust funds? Yes, they do.
Okay. So it does go through the receiver.
It goes through because on the creation of the trust account, they were specifically named, I believe, in a subsequent
yes. okay.
law. And it was an amendment, actually, to another law, if I'm not mistaken.
And will the receiver be reviewing the payments being made? I would imagine so.
I could clarify that.
Yeah.
Or if you
yeah.
are you going to require their presence for these kinds of questions?
No. It's just more the process. We just wanted to kind of clarify. Because although it has changed to local funds, federal strings are attached.
By mechanism of the trust account, that is correct. Yes.
Okay. All right, and let me see. So are there any other issues that need to be taken up in this matter at this time?
Truthfully, I'm not trying to be a dead horse, Mr. Camacho, but I'm hard-pressed to see how DOE would be able to produce its statement of issues, a short, concise, in as will be ordered in the scheduling order of the issues to be addressed if we have stated on the record we can't identify them.
Okay, your motion has been taken under advisement. I believe that was part of your motion. Is that correct?
It is.
And I've stated at least three times that your motion is under advisement. Okay. And I will try very hard, though, because of that concern, to issue a decision on that motion at the earliest possible date. Okay? All right. No further matters. We are off the record at 11. This hearing is adjourned. We are off the record at 11:06 a.m. Please keep your seats. We still have to go on the record for the other two cases, just as a formality. Okay.
Off the record.